60 years ago, signing the US Wilderness Act, Lyndon Johnson declared, "If future generations are to remember us with gratitude rather than contempt, we must leave them a glimpse of the world as it was in the beginning." How much there's left to glimpse in Australia is a question just now addressed by a team of researchers commissioned by the Wilderness Society who have mapped what's left. The first map of Australian wildernesses for 40 years. Of course, it's not an entirely happy result. The team, led by Professor James Watson, a conservation scientist at the University of Queensland, concluded that we have lost at least 20% of our wilderness since it was last mapped. After a year-long peer review process, the first report of the mapping work is to be published this week in Earth System Science Data Journal. James Watson joins us now. James, welcome to Late Night Live.
Yeah, thanks, David.
We should perhaps explain that the mapping that you have done does not involve trekking in the wilderness with binoculars, a compass, and measuring tapes.
No, it's basically satellite-derived imagery, different sources there, but also different census data from roads, from buildings. There's 16 data sources that are combined, and what we're trying to work out is where are the places that we can't find any clear indication of industry or other modern activity. So you combine all these data layers together, it's at 100-metre resolution, and then you can look across the continent of Australia and say, right, where are the places that are still largely untouched?
Is that your definition of wilderness, largely untouched?
Yeah, it's a contentious term these days, but you know, how we define it is really thinking through industry and large-scale activity, agriculture, logging, urbanisation, roads, any kind of modern activity that has degraded ecosystems. The term is kind of problematic, though, because it was kind of originally conceived as with no humans there. But obviously in Australia, that's ridiculous. There's been Indigenous occupation and stewardship of lands for at least 80,000 years.
So the definition isn't untouched by humans.
Yeah, so the US Wilderness Act, which is the thing you mentioned at the beginning of the interview, defines it as basically largely untouched by humans. But that as a concept around the world is largely dismissed in that there's a recognition that Indigenous peoples have stewarded the lands for thousands of years. So the modern definition is around industry.
Where are the great wilderness areas still in Australia?
A lot of us in the desert, in the Great Sandy Desert, the Tanami Desert, the Simpson Desert. If you look at the wilderness map, you'll see these big, large spaces still largely untouched by these industrial activities. Parts of the Kimberley are still largely untouched. Parts of Cape York and southwestern Tasmania also have big wilderness areas. But yeah, what we've shown over the last 50 years is there's been an erosion of that wilderness, that there's less and less there. The good news, though, is there's still 30% of the continent that can still be considered largely untouched by these industrial activities, these big human pressures, and that, you know, and therefore 30% of Australia still functions like it should be functioning over the last 20, 30,000 years.
Except for feral cats, of course.
100%. I mean, that's the degrading force that has changed all the marsupials. What I'm talking about is those kind of broader ecological and evolutionary processes that we see, such as bird dispersal, pollinisation, that kind of thing.
So where has this happened, the de-wildernessing? Where has this happened most dramatically?
So in my lifetime, we've really seen some dramatic change in Cape York. We're starting to see that large, incredible tropical woodlands up there on the Western Cape largely eroded because of mining activity. When I went up there as a boy with my father in the 1990s, you could go up the, you know, the road right up the middle of Cape York and it'd be kind of like a goat track. It'd be like an ordeal as soon as you left the town of Cowan. Now it's an industrial highway. And it's because of the bauxite mining out at Weipa and down to Aurukun. There's these big chunks of large wilderness that have just disappeared in front of our eyes because of mining. Other places such as northeast Tasmania used to be big forested landscapes, but because of logging, you're starting to see less and less of those kind of blocks of forest. And you're starting to see erosion of wilderness in the Pilbara and the Kimberley, again, because of mining.
Can you also see wilderness reborn?
It's an excellent question, and it's something that we talk about a lot in conservation. It's incredibly hard to restore wilderness once you've really put the first wedge in. So when the first road goes in and the first bit of infrastructure goes into a place, yes, you can return it to some kind of natural semblance of what it was, but restoring wilderness to its former glory, to the thing that was, you know, functioning, you know, in isolation of basically industrial our human activity, is incredibly rare. In fact, I've never seen it anywhere in the world. So that's why the loss of wilderness is quite a profound, because you probably will never get it back. You'll get something back, but because once the first cut goes in, it's then eroded. That place of that kind of functioning that what used to be there will be diminished in some way.
I brought up my pet peeve, which is feral cats and their astonishingly destructive capacities. But can you actually define as wilderness something where the animal life has been transformed by feral invaders?
Again, that's an excellent question, and it's something that we as conservation scientists, especially in Australia, have to deal with day to day. The big thing is predators such as cats and foxes and, you know, things like rabbits and wild pigs have decimated most of the Australian landscape. And, you know, and it's the reason why we've lost things like thylacine from the entire landscape. So will we ever get the entire biotic assemblage back, and can we ever consider this our assemblages of species inside these wilderness areas to be fully functioning? The answer is no. If you look at it through a really fine magnifying glass and say, look, these cats are everywhere, foxes are everywhere, therefore there is no way that you can claim that these ecological processes are working at 100%, then Australia has no wilderness. But the bottom line is, I think for most ecological functions, you know, they still exist in the most purest form in these kind of largely untouched places, and they still are incredibly important for species and ecosystems in a time of climate change. We know that these are the areas that are the most resilient to things like droughts, floods, fires, so they're really important places to safeguard. So I think if you're a purist, you'd say they can't be wilderness because of these predators. But I think we have to look beyond that and say, look, there's been massive transformation of these landscapes for tens of thousands of years. Indigenous Australians transform these landscapes because of the fire regimes and stuff like that. So we have to look at it at a bigger picture.
On ABC Radio National, this is Late Night Live. I'm David Marr, and I am talking to James Watson about the first map of Australian wildernesses, the first map made for 40 years. James, how is the map now going to be used?
So there's a few things that this map should be used for, and we're hoping, you know, we're making it publicly available so anyone can grab it and actually use it in their planning and their assessments. The big one, we think, is how we design our protected area estate going forward. There's a big conservation agenda called 30 by 30. That's conserving 30% of Australia by 2030. That's part of a global commitment to conserve 30% of the earth, put that under protected areas. And we think that there's a really good opportunity to use this map to identify those last best bits of habitat and safeguard them from development, safeguard them from loggers and bulldozers and miners, and say these are the last remaining best bits of bush in Australia. We've got a commitment to save 30% by 2030. Let's use this map to go and target these areas. And the good news is there's still plenty of area available for this. And we see these mechanisms such as Indigenous protected areas that are growing in popularity, that are, as a mechanism, can actually really empower local communities to get outcomes for 30 by 30 and conserving these large intact places.
Yeah, we spoke on the show about the Indigenous protected areas. Extremely interesting. But James, is there really political will to say no? No logging to that, no mining to that, no fracking to that? Or is this country still essentially in the grip of the miners and the frackers and the developers?
It depends what day you ask me, to be honest. Look, I think if you take a step back and go, look, this Australian government, you know, the Albanese government has committed to 30 by 30. They've committed to the Higher Ambition Coalition. Tanya Plibersek, when she was the Minister of Environment, made it front and centre when she was saying, this is what we need to do. They also committed to no more extinctions. by 2031. This the government said, we're sick of extinctions. We don't want any more species extinctions, which no other government's done. So when the day when you're feeling happy and your glass is half full, you look at those commitments and say, this government is taking this seriously. But obviously it's when the rubber hits the road that it matters. And what we are not seeing is the expenditure on things like protected area generation and management, and also safeguarding threatened species to match those goals. So the glass half empty is that we haven't seen enough step change to actually get to the outcome that we need to. The good news, though, is data sets like the ones we've created are freely available. You know, we have the data now to be able to say to different state governments and the federal government, look, you've got to go here if you want to save this species or you want to save this last bit of wilderness in this place. It's just so the data and the maps are available. It just needs this kind of political will to move there and meet the targets that the government has already set for themselves.
Is there a record in the last few years of a government saying no to a profitable project because it's going to diminish wilderness?
It's a really good question. I'm aware of some, you know, things like Indigenous protected areas have been really important at actually holding the tide on those kind of activities. So when the land is given back to Indigenous peoples, negotiations happen. And I think there has been cases where people have said, no, we're not accepting that. So there are some cases, you know, in Central Australia where the miners and the graziers haven't won out. There are cases on the coast, it's not wilderness, but Toondah Harbour in Brisbane, you saw a decision where they didn't go and develop something that they was going to be very profitable and had a lot of money behind it, where they said no to it in the end. So we do have these environmental victories here and there, but often, more often than not, when there's a bit of mineral underneath the earth that is worth something, that wins the day. That's what we see most of the time.
You've done wilderness mapping around the world. Is Australia any different to, you know, the challenges wildernesses face everywhere?
I think we're our trends of loss are equivalent to many other places. The Amazon, unfortunately, right now is being decimated. We're seeing, you know, 1,300 square kilometres a year of forest being cleared in the Amazon, which is an enormous amount of area. The Congo is also the second largest rainforest on the planet. Basically, in the Republic of Congo, every single bit of that Congo forest is under a logging lease right now. Yeah. So it could theoretically be logged. So, you know, Australia is in better condition than those places. But all these rates of loss are profound. And we're seeing that these rates of loss are increasing. They're not slowing down. They're actually seeing that these last intact places, we're developing them at a quicker pace than other places. And that's kind of sad, because what often protected wilderness in the past was the fact that they were remote. It was hard to get to, it was hard to develop, it was hard to do activities there. So their remoteness saved them. But now, because humans can get basically anywhere and do harm anywhere, they can take a bulldozer just about anywhere, they can create electricity anywhere, they can do activities anywhere, the fact that you're remote doesn't save you anymore. So we're seeing that kind of change everywhere around the world.
James, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks, David.
I've been talking to Professor James Watson, conservation scientist at the University of Queensland, about the map that he and his team have done of Australian wilderness areas. And James, is that map going to be available online? Can people look it up?
Yeah, so from Thursday, it'll be online and in that journal Earth System Science Data, and we'll also put it online at the University of Queensland. Just look at my name and you'll find it.
Look for James Watson and you will find the wilderness heart of Australia. Thanks, mate, very much.
Thank you.